Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday. On most Fridays this summer, we've been digging deeper into some things that came up briefly on the show during the week. Today, it's the defense budget. On Wednesday, we briefly mentioned the Washington Post report that said President Bush will ask Congress for an extra $50 billion to fund the Iraq War troop surge through the spring. He wants it to continue. That's in addition to the $150 billion he's already requesting for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and another $460 billion he wants for the rest of the Pentagon. Now, being the math whizzes that we are around here, we figured out that would be $660 billion in all for the military next year, or two-thirds of $1 trillion. A trillion here, a trillion there, soon you're spending real money. So we decided to take a closer look at what actually goes into the war budget and where those $460 billion other of our tax dollars would go inside the Pentagon as a whole. And with us for this is Fred Kaplan, Slate.com military affairs writer. Hi, Fred. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for asking me.
Let's start with a small change first. Mm-hmm. When the president asked for another $50 billion to fund the troop surge through next spring, what are the biggest actual line items in that?
Well, we don't know yet because he hasn't actually submitted the request. He's going to do that as he's going to do everything else after, can you fill in the blank there? After
the Petraeus report on September 15th?
Exactly, very good. Ding, ding, ding. nothing is going to, the entire government has come to a halt, as you might know, until the Petraeus report comes out.
On September 15th.
Or 14th or 11th. I've heard several dates.
Huh.
But I think the 15th is on a weekend.
But still, you have an idea because the war spending has been going on year after year.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. A supplemental has become the dark side of the moon in terms of budget accounting in this administration. The original idea of a supplemental makes a lot of sense. Now, let's say you're in a war. Okay, when you do a military budget, it's for specific things. You want to buy X number of planes, X number of ships. That costs this much, this costs that much. But then if you're in a war, well, you don't know exactly how much you're going to be spending. You don't know how much ammunition you're going to be using and therefore have to be replaced. You don't know. So sometimes, like, for example, during the Vietnam War, Johnson would submit a supplemental. You know, well, we're ending up spending more than we thought we would spend, so I need an extra $10 billion or whatever.
But do I understand correctly that the entire Iraq war and Afghanistan war are really being funded by these so-called supplemental
exactly.
budgets?
That's the difference here. These guys have decided that the military budget is one thing, the war budget is something else entirely, and the entire war budget, the entire cost of operating and supporting and maintaining the war efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan are being put on a supplemental. For example, in February, the Defense Department asked, as you said, for $480 billion for fiscal year 2008. And then it also asked for a supplemental of $141 billion to fight the, quote, global war on terrorism. That was in addition. In other words, that $480 billion had nothing to do with the wars.
I thought it was 460, but hey, what's $20 billion between friends?
Yeah, and actually it's even more than that because it doesn't include $17 billion for the Department of Energy to support, say, the nuclear laboratories and $5 billion for some other agencies that are involved in defense matters.
Do they
actually,
tell us?
I added up the whole thing. It would be about $700 billion once you take everything into account. And by the way, that was for fiscal 2008. Also last February, they said, oh, and by the way, we need another $93 billion supplemental for the remainder of 2007 because the $50 billion that Rumsfeld had supplemental had asked the year before didn't turn out to be enough.
Fiscal 2008 begins on October 1st. Do they tell us how much goes to Iraq and how much goes to Afghanistan?
They do that. I mean, not in this recent thing, but yes, they do. About three-quarters of it goes to Iraq. That's a breakdown. I mean, basically, you know, we're talking about combat bonus pay, food, ammunition, repair, maintenance, replacement of weapons lost or shot up. I mean, it's the entire cost of the war.
Listeners, we could take your calls on the Iraq and Afghanistan war budgets and the total defense budget, 212-433-WNYC. Comments or questions for Fred Kaplan, military affairs writer for Slate.com, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Do you know the total dollar figure so far that has gone to the Iraq war?
I've seen different figures. I added up to be about $600 billion, Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay.
I think it's close to $650 billion.
And there are these scandals popping about billions of dollars in contractor fraud in the war.
Yeah.
Any idea about the total cost that we've been bilked?
No, I don't think there's any way I could guess that within an order of magnitude. I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, it's not a theoretical question. Somebody's just going to have to dig into the books and
figure it out. Well, let's go on to the mother of all federal spending items, the mainline military budget. Without even including the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, the president is asking for this $460 or $480 billion budget for the Pentagon next year. What are the biggest actual line items in that?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, you can divide it in a lot of ways, but a big item is manpower. I mean, you know, you have an all-volunteer force, you've got to pay the money. Another huge item is operations and maintenance. Even aside from what happens during the war, you know, troops, even when they're not in Iraq, they go out, they're on field exercises, they do live fire, planes fly in the air, they use tremendous amounts of fuel. And then there are big-ticket weapons systems. For example, this used to be President Bush's top priority. I don't think he's mentioned it even once since September 2004, but the missile defense program, that's chewing up $10.5 billion a year, which is far more than any other single weapon system in the budget, even though there's still no hope that the thing can shoot down, let's say, two missiles fired at us at the same time, maybe one. Two has never been tested. Then there are a lot of, for example, stealth fighter jets. I mean, these are fighter jets with short-range duration flight. Nobody seems to be able to shoot down very many of our non-stealth planes, but these are new stealth planes. We're spending $4.5 billion to buy 20 F-22 fighter planes, $6 billion to buy a dozen F-35 joint strike fighters. These things have nothing to do with the war on terrorism, with the kinds of threats that people are looking at now. When you ask officers, what are these things for? What do you need F-22s for? They say, well, emerging threats in the next 15 to 20 years, by which they mean China. So, you know, we're spending a large and you look
so
at
we're spending a lot of money to bulk up to fight a potential future war against China.
Mm-hmm. Submarines, you know, aircraft carriers. $3 billion for a new aircraft carrier. What's that for? You need that to go up against the Taliban or something? No, not at all. $2.7 billion for a new Virginia class submarine to add to the, I believe, 65 or 70 nuclear powered submarines we already have. This is we are still operating to a greater degree than most people realize under a Cold War type of budget.
Is this even an issue in the presidential campaign? I don't remember
hearing anybody
ask this question.
Nope, nobody. Because we're talking big money here. I mean, I usually don't talk like this, but but there's no alternative explanation. The aerospace industries, shipbuilding industries, and so forth, these are declining industries in the United States. There are only three companies that make military aircraft anymore. They're due to a series of mergers, acquisitions, and some companies just going out of business. If you let one of these projects dwindle, the whole company could fall apart with thousands, if not tens of thousands, of jobs at stake. So there's a lot of mutual back-scratching in Congress. And, you know, there's also mutual back-scratching within the Pentagon. In the 1950s and early 60s, the Pentagon was just rife with inter-service rivalry among the Army, Navy, and Air Force. I mean, I've seen transcripts of conversations with the chief of naval operations, in the late 50s, likening the Air Force to the communists.
Wow.
So they
settled that by saying, "I'll support your weapon system if you support mine."
So that's right. So they in the early 60s, when Robert McNamara started cutting everybody, the services got together and said, "Listen, we've got to present a common front here." And so ever since then, if you look at military budgets, certainly since the mid to late 60s, practically you will not find a departure of more than 1%, maybe 2% in any given year, from the share of the budget that goes to the Army, to the Navy, to the Air Force. It's almost evenly divided.
We're digging deeper into the military budget, our follow-up Friday segment for this week. And James, in Garden City, you're on WNYC with Fred Kaplan, the military affairs writer for Slate.com. Hi, James.
Hello, how are you doing? I just have, I'm not a great supporter of the military, but just to put it a little bit more in perspective for me, what's the percentage of the military budget of the overall economy or the overall government spending?
Go ahead, James. I'm sorry. What?
No, so I just wanted to get a little bit of a perspective.
That's the right question. What percentage of total federal spending would this $700 billion of military spending be next year? Do you know?
Well, you know, this is kind of embarrassing. I don't have the number. I know it's only about 4% of GNP.
But GNP includes the whole private economy, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in one way, you're right. It is inaccurate for anybody to claim that we cannot afford a military budget this big, or for that matter, substantially bigger. But in terms of a percentage of the rest of the federal budget, I'm not sure. But you can twist the question in a different direction. Most of the remaining items in the federal budget are non-discretionary. Things like Social Security, Medicare, which are pegged to cost of living increases and other things.
Mandated by law in that way.
Right, that sort of thing. The Defense Department is also one of the only departments that has any kind of capital budget whatsoever. In other words, it actually is building things. So that has a multiplier effect throughout
right.
the economy. The point is this: if we're not going to be increasing any taxes, and if we have this enormous deficit, and if a large percentage of the debt in the entire economy is now being held by Chinese bankers, against whom we're now building aircraft carriers for the war 20 years from now. If you want to...
Don't sell those government bonds or else.
That's right. So if you want to increase money for health care or education or something, it's not there. There's no room for expanding.
Right, but we debate one.
So
I mean, it's funny, Fred,
budget.
It's funny. We debate one and we don't debate the other. Washington
exactly.
is
you,
all
you,
in
you
flame.
You debate a $100 million health care program.
They're debating now whether to cover more children mm-hmm. with Child Health Plus. It's a huge national issue.
Right.
And I'm sure it's much less than $1 trillion, but nobody's debating the military budget.
This is the interesting thing. The Democrats have no concept of military budget, of military strategy. This is one problem they have now. I mean, for a while, this is changing a little bit. For a while, they didn't even have a policy on Iraq. The policy was just, well, if we were in power, we would be smarter about it. Well, you know, that's a good thing. But they don't discuss strategy. They don't discuss means and ends. They don't discuss budgets. They don't discuss weapon systems. It's sort of... You know, people talk about Social Security as a third rail in American politics.
Yeah.
It's almost as if talking about aircraft carriers and stealth fighter jets is if there is a fourth rail, that's it. I haven't heard anybody, who has, say, a chairman or ranking position on a committee talk about these kinds of issues in well over a decade.
Let me get a couple of callers in here, additional callers, before we run out of time. Sharif in Addison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sharif.
Yeah, hi, how you doing, Brian?
Okay, what's your thought?
I have a
My question is, we say, true, the military is spending a lot of money, but the companies that are involved in the military equipment right now, as we stand, they are the only ones that are doing the advanced research that potentially has potential uses in the industry.
I see, in private circles. I mean, wasn't it the defense budget that originally funded ARPANET, which became the Internet?
Yes, it was. But you know, there's another way to look at that. If that is the case, and it may very well be, if you want to defend it as an R&D project that will have, cascading results throughout the high-tech economy, it's a rather inefficient way of doing it.
Let me get one more in. David in New Haven, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Real quick.
I just have a quick question. I was wondering how much are we spending on diplomacy? I've been very critical of the Bush administration, but they were one of the first to increase aid to Palestine, for example. But it's peanuts compared to what we're talking here. So, I mean, it's another unfair question, but do we know how much we're actually spending on diplomacy?
I don't have a number, but, diplomacy doesn't cost a lot of money. It costs, a couple hundred official salaries and some airplane tickets.
There's a big lunch expense budget in diplomacy, I think. All right, we have to leave it there. Fred Kaplan, military affairs writer for Slate.com. Extremely informative. Thank you for doing follow-up Friday segment with us on the defense budget. And we'll see what the president actually asks for. The Washington Post reporting that after the Petraeus report in mid-September, he will up the ante on the war by another $50 billion. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.